John chapter 14, verse 15, and we will start. The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is, without a doubt, the most misunderstood one in the Godhead by many believers as well as unbelievers. Last Sunday, I began my teaching with the definition of the many cults regarding Jesus Christ, the Son of God, what they think about the Son of God. This time, I think it's important for us to know what they think about Holy Spirit. The Jehovah's Witness says, impersonal Holy Spirit is not God, but rather an invisible active force from Jehovah. Mormonism says the Holy Spirit, all lowercase Holy Spirit, is different from the capital case Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is not God, but an influence, an electricity-like emanation from God or light of Christ. Unification Church says the Holy Spirit is the feminine spirit who walks with Jesus in the spirit world to lead people to Munsang Myung. This guy has a serious ego problem. Scientology says the Holy Spirit is not part of this belief. Islam says Allah has or is a spirit. Muslims reject the biblical concept of the Trinity. New Age people says sometimes a psychic force. Man is a divine and can experience a psychic phenomena such as contacting unearthly beings. So that's when the ET said call home. Yeah, whatever. Within Christianity, the doctrine of the gift of, and the works of the Holy Spirit kind of divide into two main groups. One group says, since the completion of the Bible, some of the gifts are no longer available. And some, they said, some of the gift is still going on, the one they have. Well, how convenient. And the other spectrum, the more charismatic brothers and sisters will say, everything is go, and they run wild with it. And almost to the other spectrum. And to the point that they go out of boundary of the Bible, what the Bible teaches. In case you are wondering where the Calvary Chapel stands on this matter, we stand right between these two of these opposite ends. We believe that all the gifts of, and the works of the Holy Spirit are still available to all believers of Jesus Christ. To prove that point is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, please. Hebrews 13, 8. Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. He does not say, okay, since we have a Bible complete, that's another matter we'll take care of, so I'm not going to go there. Since we have a Bible, I'm not going to give you that gift anymore. He doesn't do that. At the same time, we must use the gift and the works of the Holy Spirit within the biblical boundary as the Holy Spirit leads us. And the believers should not use excuses for their weird behaviors. And there are some of them that are just flat-out weird behaviors of the, as a work of the Holy Spirit. Because exercising the Holy Spirit gift is under the control of individual believers. Proven text is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. There you go. For the God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. One time, my wife and I were, before we end up in the Calvary Chapel, we were, I guess you can call it church shopping, going from one church to another church to see where the Lord is leading us. One particular church, they was doing whooping and hollering, dancing around, and they were, some of them running around with a banner around the church. And the pastor says, I know what the Holy Spirit that was actually, he said, Holy Ghost says, and we are not going to have a teaching. And so they went on with more whooping and hollering, jumping up and down. I thought, wow, this is a concert. And so people leave that church with a hyped up emotion, and they go home, and they're still empty. Where's the meat? Where's the food? Right here. I'm not saying that we should ignore the worship portion, very important portion. This is when we, as the worship team lead us to the throne of grace, we just simply going into the throne to hear from God. We should not ignore either part of that. Obviously, there is much confusion regarding the Holy Spirit and His works and gifts in the modern day as well as the first century. Let's hear from the Lord Jesus Christ what He says about the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, with there in light of much confusion regarding the Holy Spirit, Father, we are asking You to make it known to us from Your word, not from man's mind, not from the one person's opinion, rather from Your word, Your book, as You intend for us to know. Let us hear from You. Anoint Your word, anoint the ears to hear and mind to receive. Anoint the one who speaks. Father, we also pray for the president, President Obama, that he may truly know Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. And we pray for our troops, especially the family and friends of the 13 soldiers being killed yesterday. We grieve with their families. We grieve with their friends for them. Comfort them, Lord. During this difficult time, You embrace them with Your strong, righteous right arm. They may know Your presence, and those who do not know You somehow come to know You. We also pray for the police officers, the federal agent, and the sheriff deputies, and firefighters, those who protect our lives day in, day out. We are asking You to protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 15 and chapter 14, please. If you love me, Jesus speaking, keep my commandments. This is a fair measure of our love for Jesus. Let me say one more time. This is a fair measure of our love for Jesus. It is easy to think that loving Jesus is merely sentimental and emotional terms. It is wonderful for us to have a sentiment and a passion to love Jesus. But it must always be connected with obeying His commandment. Otherwise, it's not love at all. People say that all they want, that they say that I love God, I love God, I love Jesus. But if they don't obey the word of God, His commandment, what they're saying doesn't mean anything. It's nothing more than a lip service. In other words, our obedience to His word is outward expression of our love for the Lord. You follow me? Move down to verse 16, please. And I will pray the Father, He will give you, on the line next two words, please, another helper. Very important. Another helper. That He may abide with you forever. Today we are learning the two names of the Holy Spirit that Jesus mentioned. The first one we find here is another helper. In verse 15, Jesus spoke of the true disciples' love for Him. But this time He reveals His love for them by unveiling supernatural promise of the divine helper. One Greek word here really tells an awful lot about this particular helper. But it is one of those words that it's not you can all easily overlook. But it is a crucial word. In theological term, we call it crucial word. It is the word another, in which the Greek word is alas. There are two different Greek words for the another. One English word, but in two different words, clearly. One of them says heteros, which means another of different kind. And the second word, alas, is another of the exactly same kind. Heteros, of course, we drive the word heterosexual, two different and the same kind. What Jesus was saying then, that his disciple and us, that he was going to pray to the Father, Father would dispatch the Holy Spirit to us. And not just anyone, but the same divine nature person, like Jesus Christ himself, not a human, not a mighty angel. Speaking of angels, I know that many people following this angel thing around the world. Some people literally worship angels over God. Do you know that? Just for fun of it, while I was studying, I typed in the angel in the Google website just to see how many times it's mentioned around all the web pages, website around the world. Guess how many numbers you came up with? Wild guess. Million. Do I hear 5 million? 100 million. Over 1.1 billion times. Especially if you drive straight onto the I-19, I-10, and you jump into I-17, drive up there and veer off to the Sedona, guess what? There's a la-la land, and there's a total angel land. They have no idea whom they're talking to, but they're sure talking to somebody. It's not God's angel. Chapter 14, verse 16, this John, is one of the verses in the Bible shows the underlying theme of the Trinity. God the Son prayed to the God the Father to send God the Holy Spirit to human. You never read anywhere in any dissension amongst the Trinity. Holy Spirit doesn't say, I don't like that idea, Jesus, or Jesus speaking, let's take a vote on that matter. They're in perfect and beautiful harmony with one another. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there is a fourth part. There's a fourth part. That's us. While there's a four-part harmony is going on, and if everything is a sync, it's a beautiful music. However, if there is one is out of tune, guess who that be? Us. We are off key again. As a usual. Because we are not tuned into the Holy Spirit. We are not tuned into the Word of God, Jesus Christ. If you have a New International Version and New Living Translation, it reads, instead of helper, it will say counselor. If you have a New King James Version, it will say comforter. Which one is the correct version? They are all correct, as a matter of fact. Parakletos is the Greek word for the helper, comforter, and counselor. Or some version would say advocate. That's correct as well. It means called along the side to assist, comfort, and advocate. The Holy Spirit never works instead of us or in spite of us. Rather, He always in us and through us. Am I making sense to you? He never goes against your will. So if you say that, well, I didn't know what I was doing. Holy Spirit just took over my body and I went to do these weird things. By the way, have you ever heard the Holy Laughter Movement? It went on for how many years ago? About 10 some years ago. People were laughing in the church like exactly. Thank you. Idiot. They were going on, and then one of them, pretending to be a dog, lifting his leg to the monitor, ran up to the stage, lifting his leg up like a fire hydrant toward the fire hydrant, pretending he's peeing. He's like, are you not? And then I thought, yeah, you're not. And they say it was the Holy Spirit. And then one guy who told me, I was so taken by the Holy Spirit, I had to run out the door and running around. We were in the downtown homeless people ministry. And he was doing this kind of silly thing. And he said, it's the Holy Spirit. No, it's not Holy Spirit. It's your weirdness. You're putting the blame on God. What's that got to do with God? Nothing. If you know the Word of God, you wouldn't do that kind of stupid things. And then, here's the one guy who would blow bad breath on people and would swing his coat jacket around and people fall over like a domino. Are you real? And there was one guy who would not fall off. And so one guy just joked him out of the way. We don't want that sore thumb sticking up when everybody's down on the ground. Folks, get real. Holy Spirit does not do that kind of thing. While we are I was preparing this for another help, a word study, remind me the opposite word of this in many ways, Antichrist. The Antichrist is used in the Bible only by the Apostle Paul, Apostle John. Nobody else, not Apostle Paul, not even Jesus Christ himself. But he brings the important point. It describes three things. A spirit in the world that opposes or deny Christ. Number two, the false teachers who embody the spirit. Number three, the person who will head up in the final world of rebellion against Jesus Christ. Now, the prefix ante, A-N-T-I, is the same spelling in Greek or English. Ante actually has a dual meaning in Greek, both against and instead of Christ. Satan, in his French, is fighting Christ and his eternal truth, and he's using his counterfeit as a substitute to be the Lord Jesus Christ. While the Holy Spirit is another person in Trinity to help us, comfort us, and bring unbelievers to Jesus, Antichrist is out there to rob our spiritual heritage, to destroy our spiritual effort to bring glory to Jesus, and to kill our testimony of Jesus Christ to unbelievers, unbelieving world. What a stark contrast that is. Look at what Jesus is saying about another helper. Back to verse 16, please. Let's go back to verse 16. And I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper. He will abide with you forever. Note three things here. First one is God the Father will give the Holy Spirit to the all born-again Christian as a guarantee. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 21, now he who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our heart as a guarantee. Second point I'd like to bring to your attention is that Jesus used the pronoun he in verse 16 instead of it. In other words, Holy Spirit is not a force from somewhere in the mumbo-jumbo cosmos, and like a Jedi Knight of the Star Wars would think, force be with you, or the New Age people would say. Holy Spirit is very much a person, and his pronoun is he, not it. Third point is another helper abides in the heart of believers forever. Forever means what? Forever. Not for a temporary time. Once he goes in, he stays there. The Holy Spirit is not a seasonal guest in our heart. He doesn't come and go as he wishes. He's permanently residing in our heart once we accept Jesus into our heart as the Savior and Lord. That means He comes in, He's still he residing in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, please. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Go back to verse chapter 14 of John, verse 17, please. The Spirit of truth, whom, this is the second name that Jesus called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Second time the Holy Spirit Jesus mentioned is the Spirit of truth, as I just mentioned. Apart from the Holy Spirit, no man and no woman can ever know the truth about their sinful condition or about the righteousness of God and they don't know what it takes to go to God. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. You agree? And which is the truth from the cover to cover. This Bible speaks nothing but the truth. There's no if, no but, and there's no doubt. Everything it says is the bottom line. We studied 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 for 9 weeks. If you have any doubt, you can go over to the bookstore and you can pick up the book there. That's the because the Spirit of truth is the author of the Bible and it speaks nothing but the truth, that's the reason why the world is rejecting it and discarding it and twisting it and even trying to mix with their own lies. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, please. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Just make a note, there are 66 books in the Bible, 40 authors whom God used. However, they all talk about the same thing. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Back to 17, verse 17 in chapter 14. Notice what Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit. He dwells with you, He will be with you, right? Later in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So what does it mean? Go to the Acts chapter 1, verse 8, please. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Folks, this brings the important point. Holy Spirit has a three function on us. Holy Spirit, who is God Himself, is with us because He is omnipresent. As Genesis 1 says, Holy Spirit hovers over the earth. And at the same time, He is in one side of the earth. At the same time, He can be on the other side of the universe. He is omnipresent God. He is with us. Then He comes after us to save us. When we obey His call and become a born-again believers, then by receiving Jesus into our heart, Holy Spirit comes in us. See the preposition? It's changing from with us to in us. And He sanctifies us. And the Holy Spirit comes upon us to supercharge us, to get us ready and able to do God's work in this world. That's a very important thing for us to notice. Holy Spirit is with us because He's the omnipresent God. Holy Spirit is in us because we are born again Christian and He resides in our heart. Holy Spirit come upon us to do His work for His glory. You with me on that? That is the relationship we want to keep on having. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Apart from Him, people cannot know the truth. Apart from Him, they cannot understand the truth. Apart from Him, they cannot discover the truth. Think about this with me, ladies and gentlemen. The very God who created the entire universe with His command, the very God who holds the entire universe in the palm of His hand, He comes into your heart, reside in your heart. God, who is so big to hold the universe and becomes so small to live in your heart. I cannot even grasp the tiny portion of that. I just believe that in faith. It's a mind-boggling thing. And it is a privilege, it is a marvelous grace of God that He given to us. He would plant the very essence, His very essence in us. We have a supernatural helper, not somewhere in the other side of the universe. Or He dispatched some angels to take care of our needs. He Himself is in us. Every moment of your life, every second of your existence on this earth as a believer throughout the eternity, you have the very presence of God Himself. Do you understand? But does it mean that that's applicable to everybody in the universe and anybody on earth? No, only to the born-again Christian. If you are not born-again Christian, that means you do not have the Holy Spirit. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, that means you do not have the guarantee to be in heaven. On a side note, were the disciples of Jesus, were they saved at this moment when Jesus was speaking to them? I don't think so, for two reasons. Number one, Jesus said to them, back to the verse 17, He will dwell with you, He dwells with you, and He will be in you. If they are already born again Christian, He would say, He dwells in you and He will be with you continuously. Second thing that I bring to your attention is the comment made by Jesus in chapter 20. Go to chapter 20, verse 22. Then He breathed on them, Jesus after His resurrection, He breathed on them, His disciples said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. There it is. They haven't received the Holy Spirit until this point. So you may say, so what is your point, preacher? People can think of what they want. As I said before, unless you have the Holy Spirit, you are not a Christian. This is not what I say. This is not my opinion. This is what the Bible says. Verse 18, please. I will not leave you, orphans. I will come to you. Now, the orphans in Greek is orphanos. It means teacherless without a guardian. It's not parentless. Rather, in their definition, it's teacherless and without guardian. Though Jesus was about to leave His disciple on earth, He would be replaced by the Holy Spirit Himself, who can be in every born-again Christian's heart at the same time. Jesus being in human body, He can be one place at a time. He will be replaced by the Holy Spirit, who is omnipresent everywhere at the same time. Holy Spirit would not have that limitation. I heard a story from the pastor, Steve Mays, who has a Calvary Chapel in Gardner, California. Any of you from Gardner, California? No? South Bay, California. Anyway, he read a book which was written by the well-known Christian teacher and Bible teacher and pastor. He said, being on the top of the ministry, the head of the ministry, is sometimes a very lonely thing. So when he had a chance to meet the Pastor Chuck, he asked, Pastor Chuck Smith is the founder of Calvary Chapel around the world. So Chuck, do you feel lonely since you are the head of all the Calvary Chapels? Pastor Chuck, in his slow baritone voice, said, well, how can you be lonely when Jesus is with you all the time? So Steve Mays came back to his church and threw the book in the trash can. How can you be lonely when Jesus is with you, when the Holy Spirit is with you? You might be a single person. You might be lonely. You might be married but still lonely because you have a problem with your spouse. Remember, Jesus is with you if you are born again Christian and Holy Spirit is in you. Find the comfort in that word. I will not leave you as an orphan. And as Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you and nor forsake you. That is His promise. Having the presence of God in our heart 24/7 brings a comfort and serious warning to us. Yes, it's a great comfort. Wherever we go, Holy Spirit goes with us. He watches over us and protects us and comforts us. Some of you guys know this by heart. 1 John 4:4. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I said a serious warning. I heard that the true measure of a godly person is what he or she does behind closed the door when no one is watching. How true. No physical eye might be present, but the Holy Spirit is with you. That means He is seeing you, everything what you do. Let me make one example. Next time when you are at that gray area, when you are in the hide behind the closed door, alone, when no one is watching, would you watch that R-rated movie that is filled with the vulgar, profanity, nude scene, sex scene, or one of those popular vampire movies nowadays? And I'm going to ask you this. Whatever you replace that example with whatever something else, okay? Ask yourself, would I do this if Jesus is sitting next to me? I firmly believe that your answer will be no. Why would you do it when the Holy Spirit is in you? And some of you are thinking, you're taking all the fun out of my life, bud. Well, go back to chapter 14, verse 15. Back to 14:15. Our memory verse. If you love me, what? Keep my commandment. Three applications. Number one, our obedience to His word is outward expression of our love for the Lord. Number two, Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Apart from Him, people cannot know the truth. They cannot understand the truth. They cannot discover the truth. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the one who is pointing the truth of Jesus Christ, to us. Number three, true measure of a godly person is what he or she does behind the closed door when no one is watching. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. thank you for your presence. Go with us as we witness you, your Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.